Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vicar's Tree. This show is broadcast live from a little town just north of Calgary, situated in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. I'm your host, Sinistry. Today, our guest is MJ Milne. She is a Canadian artist, author, and scriptwriter. MJ is the author of 12 Golden Keys for a New World. She is also author of Yule Tides, Universal Tides. Yes, that was the other one I was just reading here today. MJ says that we are powerful visionaries, and she's going to help us learn to live consciously. Thanks for joining us, MJ.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good. I suddenly have become quiet. I'm not exactly sure what happened. Even my gong was quiet this morning. So we'll have to see where this show is headed as you unwrap the veil or move the veil through your information about your book.
Well, that's maybe why we're so quiet, is because the movement of the veil is so loud that we can't hear anything.
Interesting.
That does happen sometimes. In fact, there was such a windstorm out there last night that it moved a lot of things. A lot of things have shifted here on the West Coast, as you probably have been hearing about, the undercurrents of everything, there's a vibe here that is bringing a lot of changes, and the windstorm last night probably helped to move away a lot of energies that were stuck here. That's all I can say. It's living in a rainforest here is like living in a green garbage bag full of wet lettuce.
That's quite the description. Although sometimes you did feel like that in your, when I lived out there, I recall.
Yes, well, you know, I was born and raised in Vancouver in the rainforest, and I definitely have rainwater for blood.
That's wonderful.
To paraphrase Ripley in The Aliens.
That's awesome. So you must feel everything. If you're rainwater, you're constantly shifting and changing, and you're very sensitive to all of these earth movements, obviously.
I am, and the rivers underneath the earth, too. A lot of people are feeling them here now. In fact, I have a friend of mine who had to literally sell and move because the water, the river underneath the earth, was affecting her. She couldn't sleep. She had this sensation in her solar plexus and also the hum. It's known as the hum. A lot of people are experiencing the hum around the world, and nobody can explain it. Doctors don't know what it is. They think the person's crazy. And it's a vibration that has encircled the earth and is coming out as a sound, an inner sound. And with my world, it's the inner sound of spirit that we can all contact, we can all connect with, doing certain exercises that I talk about in the book. The first exercise at the end of the first key is on page 36 for those of you who have the book. And it talks about finding a quiet place and doing deep breathing and getting into your inner by using certain words and things like that. But I'm sure that's a question on your list there, Sin, so I'm not going to go there yet.
Well, you can go wherever you feel is appropriate in the timeline that you're speaking, because that's what it's all about here. I think we learn from those leads that we get, just as you're describing and that you also very well describe in the book, is intuition and what we're being, you know, guided softly or to do is something to pay attention to. So please go along as you feel is appropriate. I'll actually speak up and say, okay, can I get in there for a minute? So, anyways, I will go to the first question, though, as I was mentioning. So, the 12 Golden Keys for a New World. Why write this book? What did you hope to achieve having written it?
Well, to tell you the truth, I have absolutely no idea. But all I know is it took me 2 years to write it, 1 year to produce it, and 20 years to live it. And it came through a desire to share old wisdom to new seekers. And basically, it was just birthed through me. Where the 12 Golden Keys originally came from was from my science fiction book, Universal Tides, Barbed Wire Blues. This was a book that I started writing in the mid-1970s. I wrote it on foolscap by hand, all 500 pages, and then stuck it in a wooden chest in the basement of my parents' home for 25 years. And when I went home to be a caregiver for my ailing father, I rediscovered the chest. This is a true story. I know it sounds kind of, you know, a bit odd, but I went down to the basement, and there was this chest that I'd totally forgotten about. And I opened it up, and I found all these writings that I had done in the 70s, and one of them was Universal Tides, Barbed Wire Blues. And so I started reading it, unfolding the sticky foolscap paper and things like that. And I'm going, wow, this is interesting, because a lot of the things that I wrote in the book had either already happened or were about to happen and could happen. So I thought, well, I better take a better look at this and see what I can do with it. So as I was looking after my father, I'd be down in the basement in my little desk writing away, and I found that I was being told to upgrade it, to re-edit it, and as I did that, these 12 keys came through, where the main character actually started receiving these keys throughout the book, and she used them in the book. While I published the book, I did it as a digital ebook online at universaltides.com. And the feedback I got from people who were reading it, and these were people from all over the world. It wasn't just North Americans. There are a lot of people in India and Great Britain and France and Turkey wrote back to me and said, wow, we want to know more about these 12 Golden Keys because they really work. So I said, oh, well, maybe I better take another look at this. And so they started to evolve even more, and I just started writing it. What happened was I got some house sitting jobs. My sister went away for 2.5 months to Brazil and South America, and I disappeared. I chose to see it as a retreat. And I started writing and writing and writing and writing. My friends were phoning saying, where are you? Where are you? And all these animal spirits came around. She lives in a beautiful place, and I was looking after her dog. And I have two dogs. And then I would go from house to house and house sit, and all these animal spirits were there. And they helped me write. In fact, Milo, my dog, just came in the door, and he wants to say hello to you. So it was a very interesting process. I know you can relate to animal spirits, and because you have a love for horses.
Yes, actually all animals. However, the horse seems to be my token project to work with publicly. But say hi, thank you.
Oh, yes, yes.
So you were writing, and all these animal spirits were coming around, And what did you take from that? Were they the ones who were actually sending messages to you to place in your book?
No, they were just their energy was very loving, and I could do no wrong. You know how animals will love you no matter what you do, as long as you feed them. And so it allowed me an open expression, a blank page on which to get in touch with spirit, with soul. I think your listeners know what spirit and soul are, but just in case there's someone listening who is unfamiliar with that, soul is the witness. Dr. Wayne Dyer calls it the witness. It is who you truly are, your true self, and it is the being who is listening to us talk right now. Kind of like if you could envision this little being sitting on your shoulder, listening behind the words. It's not the physical. The physical is a vehicle for soul to express itself in this physical plane, this planet Earth. So soul is who you really are. And unfortunately, we're not, that side of us is not developed when we're a child or in traditional religions or anything, anywhere. Nobody really tells you about soul, even though it is really the being of light, a multidimensional being of light who is in this vehicle of the physical body. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you. It does. I find it interesting, the descriptions and who chooses what that is to be, you know. Like I understand some of what he's sharing about soul, and yet at other times I think you describe it here as a, it's more than just a witness, it's also, well, it's
who you are.
Yeah, and who you've been through many lifetimes, as you describe in the book as well. Like you're connecting to all of those different lifetimes, those parts of your persona in those lifetimes.
You know, I think the way we can sort of describe it is that, okay, here we have this. When my father was dying, he died in the hospital, and we were all there. The family was there, and it was the shell of a person who was there. And soul is like breath. When the breath leaves, soul leaves and goes elsewhere. And it's that elsewhere that really interests me as a futurist, as a person who likes to look beyond the obvious. And the book, 12 Golden Keys for a New World, is all about entering a state of conscious freedom, a state of awareness that allows you the freedom to create and choose how to experience your life. And soul is right there for you to consciously be aware and experience who you really are. And once you realize that, it's totally life-altering. It's realizing that the rest is an illusion out here. It's a total illusion, and that we're on a life journey. And for me, our life journey is to learn how to give and receive love, because that's really all it's about. It's about realizing divine love and finding our way how to discover that.
And that seems to be the major movement in this timeline as well, for us to really awaken to that understanding.
Something I wanted to say is there are stories in 12 Golden Keys for a New World from people from all walks of life. You've got people like Brock Tully, who cycled around North America to raise people's awareness of the dangers of bullying, which is very topical right now. Rick Steves, Europe Through the Back Door, how he went to Iran because he was quite worried, and he did a show on Iran on his television program, and he totally changed his perspective. So it's all about changing perspective and seeing through the eyes of soul, which is the fifth key, seeing through the eyes of soul. And then you have people like Sasha Jordan, a Reiki practitioner and singer of devotional songs, who went to India and opened her eyes to the other part of the world, and Kathy Stevenson, who is a nurse who volunteered in an orphanage in southern India, and so many other stories. Maisie Baker, a local elder of the Squamish Indian Band here, who has sage advice for young adults. And Denise Callahan, she talks about receiving messages from her deceased husband. I just love these stories, and the way the stories came to be put in the book was a total surprise to me. I didn't know, this was not planned. I had no idea I was going to do this. I just put out a call to everybody I knew and friend on the email, and friends of friends told each other, and some sent in stories. Some I tried to pull stories from because they weren't, you know, they weren't open to doing it. And as a result, they went on to start writing their own books. My sister Carol has a story in there about the downtown east side here in Vancouver. And my other sister Anastasia about how her dog saved her life. And a filmmaker in Austria who has done a wonderful film, and someone who you would probably love to interview. She did a film called The White Road about the Mayan elders down in Guatemala or Peru, I think it is. And she tells her story about how she was led to go there, and as a result was one of the first filmmakers to capture images of the secret Mayan ceremony down there. So, you know, there's so many stories here, and they all connected like a shining string of lights that led back to all the 12 golden keys and illuminated what the meanings of the keys were. Reverend Sharon Richlark, who I believe you had on your show.
Yes.
Yes, you know Sharon Richlark. She has a story in there. She's a homeopath, and she has a story about meeting Hannah Kroger, the amazing master herbalist who is now passed on. But Sharon actually met her and sat at her feet and learned everything that she was supposed to learn at that time. Wonderful woman. And so many others. Ray Armour, singer, musician, experience of reliving a past life. Darlene Montgomery, Conscious Women, Conscious Lives. Janet Matthew, Chicken Soup for Canadian Soul, tells her story. And my good friend Jean Manning, who wrote the book No Angels Play This Harp, and also Breakthrough Power. All these great people you could interview, Sin.
Well, I love that. Thank you very much. I'll be sure to mention that you sent me.
Anyway, lots of stories in the book that people will relate to.
And they're wonderful stories. And just going back to the story of your sister with her dog, that was pretty amazing how great her dog was, such a great friend.
Oh, you like that story. Isn't that wonderful?
It really is. A beautiful story of connection and protection, and what animals can actually be in our lives. It was very well written, MJ. Nice.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks to my sister. She's, you know what happened yesterday? She has two dogs. They live on a 100-acre farm outside of Peterborough in Ontario, and the dogs met up with a porcupine.
Uh-oh.
A porcupine. And so she spent the afternoon and evening pulling out all these porcupine quills, and ooh, ouch.
It's terrible, yeah.
Poor babies.
It was there. Yeah, I used to run with my dog, and anything that would be around him, he would manage to take care and make sure it wasn't anywhere near me. And the one day it was a porcupine, and it just literally slapped him right inside the mouth. So,
ow.
It was terrible. And I didn't know what to do to help, or I'm a real wimp there, so I did have to, you know, take him into the vet and everything. But he couldn't. This happened at night, so he had to wait until the next morning because we're way out in the country in Nova Scotia. It was horrible. And there he was with his mouth open because he couldn't close it. It was terrible. They can be nasty.
Do you think animals are like us? If something happens to them, they learn the lesson?
I think he may have, but that particular episode, that was quite an alarming place. And it's so funny, you know, you call them back. But when you live in the country and you have that kind of freedom, the animals really do enjoy it, and they show all their natural behaviors. And it's not even that he necessarily had to do anything to it. He just had to make sure that they knew he was boss and they should get away, you know. It's pretty, but he wasn't in this particular situation anyway.
Well, you know, when I lived up north outside of Stewart, I lived in a gold mine. I worked in a gold mine up there in the bush many, many moons ago, and there were a lot of raccoons, and people had their dogs in the bush, and there were bears around too. In fact, we had to carry around a gun in the bush to shoot it over our heads, scare away all the bears. That was fun. Lots of stories from living in a gold mine.
That's interesting. Very.
Yes, yes. But what the thing is about the raccoons is what they do is the dog will bark and go up to them, and they'll wrap their little hands around the barking dog's neck just far enough away from the open mouth of the dog, and then with their back legs they'll rip out the tummy. But I don't want to go there. It's breakfast. People are eating their breakfast. I'm sorry.
I don't know where that came from.
Where are we? Oh, we're in Stewart in the gold mine. Okay. Let's come back here.
Well, that's
sorry, Sin.
That really is living close to the wild. I was actually hoping to hear how many times, or do you remember how many times the bear came into your life, and if you would notice like an incubation period in your life of 9 months where something new would come up.
Oh, you mean the bear spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Like your spirit getting, oh, well, living up north, bears came into the camp all the time. In fact, the cook used to have a wonderful time keeping them out of the cook trailer, you know, the cook's place, because a bear just goes there and rips the door right off and goes in and helps himself to the ice cream and cookies. One of the stories in the book is by Kay Johnson, who talks about spirit animals and how they contact us, and also Dr. Ingrid Pincott. After her mother died, she was inundated with all these animals and the swans, because her mother's name in Icelandic meant swan. So all these swans would come around her or fly overhead. Interesting story about spirit animals. But your question was about bears and spirit. Yes, my life changed dramatically when I was up north. And many bears would come around and go to the garbage dump and eat, help themselves, and things like that. So I think living up north was a continual river of change. And I was going through amazing relationship involvement at that time. And we just basically, it was blown up in our face, and we were forced to change. And that's where living in the bush as an artist, getting in touch with spirit and nature, that's where I did my most prolific work as an artist, an oil painter, and it totally revolutionized my life. I became very close to Mother Nature, to spirit, almost like Anastasia in those books, those amazing books by Anastasia, which I haven't read, but it's next on my list, I think.
They're great. Great.
Yeah, I'm sure they absolutely are. And so being in that environment, that's where the spiritual path opened for me. And I knew I was supposed to change my life. I moved back to the city. I became a city bus driver. And that's where I met the spiritual master, the ascended master, who wouldn't come on my bus. He just, well, here's the story. Do you want me to go
in? Yeah, that would be great. I didn't know how much you would share, so that's super.
Oh, no, it's in the book. The story is in the book. And I was a bus driver, downtown Vancouver bus driver, and I was on the Main Street run, leaving Southwest Marine Drive, going up Main Street. not that, you know, people living outside the city wouldn't know this, but the area was, it's an East Indian neighborhood with stores and shops. So pulling up to a bus stop with a man dressed in a long maroon-colored robe isn't necessarily unusual in this neighborhood, but this fellow was very unusual because of the light. He had an amazing light around him, had a black goatee beard, and I opened my doors of the bus, and I looked down, and there he was, and he stood there, and he looked up at me. He just looked up at me, wouldn't move, didn't get in the bus, and so as a bus driver at that point in my life, I was very, you know, I was a bus driver. I mean, come on, are you going to get on the bus or what? It's, you know, I got my time, my schedule, I got to go, are you going to get on? This is what I'm thinking as he's standing there in this peaceful glow looking up at me. And so I said, okay, buddy, you know, I got to go, I'm sorry, bye, shut the doors and took off. Well, the next day, the same bus stop, the same man, I pulled into the bus stop, opened my doors, there he was, in the golden light, standing there in his long maroon-colored robe. And again, he stood there and he looked up at me. And again, he didn't get my attention. Okay, come on, are you going to get on today or what? You know, is there a problem here? Nope, okay, shut the doors and took off. Third day, okay, I'm pulling up to the bus stop. Now he has my attention. My full attention. I open the doors. I look over. There he is in his peaceful glow, and he's looking up at me. And this time, he said something to me, but it wasn't out loud.
Hi, guys. We're back. And Mel, MJ's going to share that story.
I'm sorry, we kind of blasted the light here. Sorry. Are we okay?
Yes, we're good to go. And we were just about to hear what this master said.
Oh, we're back there. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Wow, isn't that interesting? Sometimes the energy gets very strong, and I certainly felt it at my end. Okay, so I open the door for the third and last time, and I look over, and he's standing there in his peaceful glow, and he has my full attention, and he looks at me, and he says, but not out loud, telepathically, he says, isn't it about time? Isn't it? And I knew exactly what he meant. Isn't it about time you step on the spiritual path? And that's when I knew, that's when the entire, my third eye completely opened. And from that, for the rest of the day on my shift, it was like I could see the world from soul's vantage.
Africa. This is too funny. Okay, well, we're back. And you were saying that since we've been dropped.
I don't know. What was I saying?
We were just talking about getting that message. Oh, and the karma from all of those people that you were meeting on the bus every day for 8 hours a day were from all over the world. And you had karma with each and every one of them.
Absolutely. Well, because we've had millions of lives, you can imagine the karma that we've built up over all these years. And for whatever reason, I was just supposed to unload all that karma and get rid of it, burn it off, give it away, do whatever. No, I'm being silly, but sorry. Yes, every person that came up that bus, I had a karmic entanglement with, and I was to silently say, may the blessings be, bless them, give them love, send them love, send them on their way, except for the guy with the knife. You know, when somebody's standing at your bus door with a huge knife, you know, you pretty well have to close the doors and take off. But he was an interesting character because I saw him again. There are tons of bus stories, but I feel like today I need to concentrate on on what that meant. What that meant was that it totally changed my life. But this is open to all of you, everything. You can learn how to do this. You can learn how to go on the inner to get rid of that veil that is over your third eye. And the I'm assuming your listeners know what the third eye is. It's a portal into the other worlds, basically. And you can go out, you can go in, you can go anywhere. As multidimensional beings, we are open to learning all these lessons. And the major lesson is to learn about divine love and to learn about love and how to give love. And I think that's really all that it is about. As we grow older, we are, majority of the population is an aging population, and it's a wonderful adventure. And I have totally embraced my age, and I am loving growing older because, I think the reason is that it opens up an entirely new spectrum of adventures and lessons, and it's all supposed to be the way it is. I know a lot of people just say, oh, why do we have to age? I hate getting old, and grumble, grumble, grumble. Mm-hmm. Well, the more you hate it, the more you will hate it. So you might as well love who you're becoming, because we're all becoming very wise sages. And there's the rise of the feminine that's coming to the fore on the planet, and I don't mean gender. I just mean the feminine divine energy, and that is divine love. And you'll notice more and more women speaking up and realizing that they are becoming wise women. We are now the wise women of the planet. And it's a matter of, but we need the tools. We need a practical spiritual toolbox to become these wise women, to share our wisdom with the younger generations that are coming up, because they need you. They really need you. They are born onto the planet with particular DNA to handle the set of circumstances that they are born into, this earth plane. They know what they're supposed to do, but they have this veil over, and that is, it's like a blindfold, and it's a BlackBerry or an iPod. No, it is, which is great, by the way. I think that's wonderful, because it's totally opened up the world to them. They're connecting with everyone all over the world. But this veil, and, you know, I almost wish, like you remember, maybe you don't remember, but when you're born, you pop out, right, and a nurse or the doctor grabs you, slaps your little tummy and or your little bum, and then the nurse takes you and puts these eye drops in your eyes, and it's to get rid of the layer across your eyes so that you can see. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful if she also had another eyedropper that she drops it on our third eye in the middle of our forehead, and all of a sudden our third eye opens, and it's like, whoa, I'm looking through the eyes of soul. I can see everything. I can see everything. Hey, Gary, remove the veil. I just saw that written here. Getting older means you are getting wiser. Absolutely. Wise women of the world. Come on. Oh, and there's a new website. It's called www.braveheartwomen.com. Go there. It's a wonderful site. I just found it, so that's why I'm just saying that.
You're actually slow.
Okay, then.
That was great.
Stay on the inner planes too much. No, life is an adventure. I just want to get out there and start seeing. And I think that when you realize that divine love is what it's all about, you just want to go out there and just spread it around. And I guess that's why I'm a great traveler, because I love traveling, and I've traveled all over the world. And you know what? Maybe it's time to share an exercise. What do you think?
I think it's great, although I want to just comment that how much I really love the idea of having the dropper drop something on the third eye of a child when it comes into this world. Just maybe somebody will start doing that or something. Some new ritual will start happening. That'd be very interesting.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay, so there you have an idea. You want to do an exercise? That sounds great.
I do, yeah, because I think we've only got 10 minutes left, don't we, or something?
We have 46 minutes left.
Oh, 46 minutes. Okay, we have lots of time then.
Yes.
Good.
We'll finish this exercise, then we'll go to a piece of music so we can grab a drink of water if that we like, and then we'll take telephone calls from people if they have questions for you after that point. So those that are listening in the chat or are in other areas on the web, if you want to call into the show after the music is played at 347-215-6930, please press 1. Put your hand up if you want to ask a question. Okay, there, the floor is yours again, MJ.
Oh, all right, yes. I wanted to share an exercise with you, so something you can do on your own, something you can take away with you. And first of all, I wanted to explain about choosing a favorite word. A lot of people, when they meditate or contemplate, use different words. You can use the word love, like love, or peace, or God, or Om. And then many thousands of people use the word hue, and it goes like hue. And this is a very sacred word, and it means divine love, getting in touch with divine love so that you can connect with that energy specifically. So what you're doing is you're choosing any word that resonates in your body. And if you like, we can use the word hue or sin. You can pick one if you want.
Hue works well.
Works well? Okay, yeah. Good. Okay, great. So what we're going to do is we're going to sit quietly, turn off the radio, get rid of all the noise, whatever you have around you, and we're just going to go on the inner. And we're going to go on the inner for maybe we'll say the hue 5 times. And usually it's about, you know, you'd go, maybe usually say it several times, and then you just are quiet and you just follow the sound into yourself. And you can also look for an inner light on your third eye. When you close your eyes, you have flashes of light or this pinpoint of light. And what that is the portal that'll take you through into the other world. And it comes with practice, so you may not do it right away, but let's try it. So we're going to say hue, if you feel like it, if you feel comfortable using that word, and then we'll do it 5 times, and then we'll come back. Are we ready?
We're ready.
Okay. Hue. Balance yourself. And with that, when you're in that quiet state, you can follow the pinpoint of light. You can go on the inner, and spirit will take you wherever it is that you're meant to go. And you can also, before you do this exercise, you can ask a question. If you have a problem, find something that you want an answer to. And after you do the exercise, go through your day and see how the light leads you, or your inner guides lead you to a solution to your problem. And that's the basic exercise that I build on throughout the book. And you learn how to get in touch with your key guardians. I call them key guardians, in your inner guides, spirit, and using the flow of the earth, the flow of the energy, to follow. I knew this woman who wouldn't take a step without asking her guides where to go. I'm not there yet, but and then you have a musician friend of mine who does house salons all the way all around the world, but she won't. She stood on a street corner in Paris once for 45 minutes, wondering where she was supposed to go next. And I'm not there yet either, but I seem to move. When I get in contact with where I'm supposed to be, then I'm there. I will do that, and I will go there. So I think that's all I want to say.
It's wonderful. I'd like to add, I've had a previous experience with a group using Hue, and that was a pretty amazing moment, because the group was of 20 people, and prior to him setting up the opportunity for us to experience the sound of Hue, he described he had been to a meeting in Mount Shasta with some masters, and there were over 300 people there, and they had collected some very muddy water. And the master that was teaching the classes there that day suggested to them that through the sound alone, they were going to clean the water. And they started with the sound of Hue. And they did this, I think he said, for about 10 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. And literally, the water cleared. It was quite an amazing feat that was shown there, you know. And then, of course, our own experience with just even the 20 people in this enclosure, and the sound started like a wave of sound, and you could feel the vibration through your body, as well as, you know, you just sort of would pick it up back and forth across the room. It was very, very interesting.
Well, Hue is a very powerful word, and I've had many life-saving experiences using the Hue, particularly as a bus driver, when this red Corvette came flying up towards my window in the bus, and I yelled out Hue, and literally in midair, this car did a 90-degree angle and went away from my bus window. And the passenger sitting in what we call the talk seat, just nearest to the bus driver, was like, his mouth opened. He could not believe it. There was just no other explanation. But that's how powerful the Hue is. And where I first heard Hue from was from Ekinkar.com. And that's where I heard the Hue and used the Hue daily, just as Om comes from the East Indian tradition. You can use anything. In fact, when I met James Twyman, Peace Troubadour, the Moses Code author, he uses the word because it's in Hallelujah, Mahanta, Allah. So he likes to use that word. So as long as the word resonates within you and opens your third eye so that you can go pop traveling out there or in here and feel safe, because the world is changing so fast and it's accelerated so much that we need these spiritual tools to help us along the path and to focus us, because there is so many distractions out there. It's like that movie, I don't know if you saw WALL-E, that animated movie about this little robot.
Yeah.
there's a planet where they all go to, and they live with this screen in front of their faces, this TV screen, and they walk, you know, they go around on these little scooters, and the screen is always in front of their face. And that's what this world is about right now. So getting rid of those blindfolds, and yet there are useful tools too that we have become such a small village now, connecting with everyone. But just focusing on our purpose and on spirit is all I want to say.
I think it's important too. And stay with that thought, everyone. We're going to go to a quick break, listen to Miss Magical's song Tribal, and get everybody pumped up here. And we will be taking calls. So if you have any questions that you'd like to ask of MJ, please call in. And the number again is 347-215-6930, or you can use the Skype push-to-talk button that is on the webpage here if you're using Skype. Okay, thanks for listening, guys.
Youth movements and youth subconscious. I've talked about them as being tribes because, you know, tribe conjures up the idea of a very colorful, exotic, but rather primitive group of people who you don't really understand but who look spectacular. And so it was a natural word to use. And these youth subcultures, which were visually very spectacular. And tribalism is like you meant that, but it meant something slightly different than you. There was the phrase, the gathering of the tribes, and this was this. The fact that all these different new subcultures that look very different have different kind of loyalties to different music, all kind of came together in one great big electronic celebration.
You're listening to The Vicar's Tree. Our guest today is MJ Milne, the author of 12 Golden Keys for a New World. We are taking calls from callers now, so if you want to call in, please do. Just before we return to asking questions of MJ, I just want to let people know that next week we will be doing a simulcast with other Gold Ring shows. It'll be me, Ash, and two co-hosts, Robbie Nelson and Marissa Morin. They're groundbreakers in the fields of post-traumatic stress disorder, healing with horses. The PSTD protocol at Buffalo Woman Ranch uses equine-facilitated healing techniques. So on November 7th, psychotherapy with Susan Weed. Susan is the author of Wise Woman Herbal Series. Her health books from women present wise women approaches to common women's ailments, including menopause, childbearing, fertility, cancer prevention, treatment, health, breast health, reproductive health. Susan offers women safe and easy solutions to common problems. On November 14th, Joe Camp is the creator of the canine superstar Benji and the writer, producer, and director of all five Benji theatrical films and various television programs. He has also authored several books, including Benji and Me, Benji Off the Leash, For the Love of Benji, on Oh Heavenly Dog, Dog Training Book, and including Soul of a Horse, which will be the topic of that day's show. On November 28th, Rachel Jessup will be here. She's the author of Dreams with Horses. It's about learning how to get a true connection with horses on the other level. And regarding demanding an exhilarating journey, her passion grew. She knew she had to share the incredible connection she made and discovered with horsemanship coach and instructor. These shows are continuing right on into the new year, so please check back. They're constantly being upgraded, and more to come. You can also listen to archives from here on the webpage if you're listening in another area and just one of the shows have just popped up. You can return to Blog Talk Radio webpage to check out past archives with our guests, as well as find us on iTunes as Vicar's Tree. So thanks for listening, everybody. And MJ, we're back with you. Thanks for waiting. So we do have a caller on the line. They have not put their hand up. So 323, if you do have a question for MJ, please just press 1 on your dial pad. Your hand will come up, and then I'll know you have a question for us, actually. So that'd be great. And I have a couple of questions left that we haven't actually looked into as yet, MJ. So I'd like to see if you how you respond to this. So which key do you think is the most important from your book?
Oh, gosh. Well, the lead-in key is probably the most important one, and that's the first key. You are the key. In fact, you are responsible for your life, for everything in your surroundings, everything in your environment, everything that you want to do, you're responsible for. So that's probably the most important, because it's the first one, because it leads into all the rest of them. The 12th key is basic, how to become a spiritual warrior. It leads into being a spiritual warrior. And in the book I give, I think it's 4 spiritual warrior codes, 3 or 4 spiritual warrior codes. And there are many more, but that's the 3 that I have given out, that have come to me so far. It's all a process. You know, it was like writing the science fiction book. It took many, many years to write that. And it turned out to be quite prophetic, in other words, prophecy is in that book, and things are still unraveling and still happening from that book.
Interesting. And that's your Universal Tides.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And you have a website for that as well, so perhaps right now you could let people know how to find you.
Okay, yes, universaltides.com is the sci-fi new age book, novel, and www.12goldenkeys.com is the nonfiction book, Unlocking the Door to Conscious Freedom, Change Your Life, Change Your Planet. And you can buy the book right from the website. In fact, if you buy it from the website, you'll get a signed copy, but you can also buy it through your local bookstore or ask your library to bring it in. I mean, that's a great idea. I love libraries. And also from Amazon.com also.
Great. Thank you. I love libraries too. I'm always been addicted to them. Favorite place. So the other one I have is, do you think that people are waking up to their own divinity? Like, are they making the connections with their guides and spirits?
I think they're already awake. They just don't know it yet.
Okay.
No, I really do. I think people are awake. They know. They know exactly what's happening. They know exactly what they're supposed to be doing. But there's so many distractions. It's keeping many people from stepping onto the path. And, I mean, why else are we here other than to learn our lessons? Everything in life is a lesson. It's just our being awake enough to recognize why that's happening, why we're here, and to go forward, to keep going forward and realizing that. So yes, I think everyone is awake, but they literally don't know it.
And that's
where the wise women come in.
Awesome. That's awesome. We do actually have a caller on the line right now. So I'll ask them what they're...
Hello?
Hi, 954. You're on the air. Could you give us your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, I'm Sigrid, and I'm calling from South Florida.
Hi, Sig. How are you doing?
Pretty good. And you guys?
Good.
And hi, Sig.
You have a question for MJ?
Yes, I was wondering if there was, maybe it's in her book, in anything in her childhood or that led her to the point where she is today, or was it something that just happened as a bus when she was driving the bus?
Yes, when I was a child, when I was 5 years old, my mother told me that I was down in the basement drawing pentagrams on the basement floor in chalk. And where did I learn how to do pentagrams? I have no idea. And I would hold these little ceremonies with the neighborhood kids. And I was reliving a past life of being, what's commonly referred to as a witch. But really, today we know that they were herbalists, herbal masters. And that was one past life. And I realized that that was an opening for me. And from there, I remember having an invisible friend where I would crawl up into the attic and we'd have long conversations with this invisible friend. And yes, I do talk about it, Sig, in the book, a couple of experiences like that. Once I remember walking home from an art class when I was about 15, 16, and I was afraid. I was really afraid walking home alone in the dark. It was winter. And all of a sudden, this black lab appeared. Well, as you may know, your spiritual guides and travelers appear in any form, many, many forms. And I knew right away that this was my invisible friend who had come to walk me home. And as soon as I walked down the driveway, I turned around and boom, he was gone. And that was, so there are many little experiences like that. Yes, Sig, thanks for asking.
But thank you for answering. That's amazing.
How about yourself? Any childhood experiences?
Well, I mean, when I was younger, I used to see things. And as I became older, I got that quality, got that ability, or at least I shut it down.
Yes.
Yeah. And I had invisible friends as well, and I could talk to animals. But
yes.
Growing up, I've just kind of shut that down. For some reason, I think that I was told I'm imagining, I'm crazy, so I said, let me just shut those things out.
Yes, as they tell us, especially like when I went to school, you know, I wasn't allowed to talk to my invisible friend. I guess maybe they thought I was cheating on my exams. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, some of my friends were afraid of me, so I just said, I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
But you know, you can reconnect with that, Sig. You can, by doing the simple exercises in the book, it's a very practical book, and that will open you again to getting in, opening to that connection, and it will literally open your life for you.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Sig.
Thanks for calling in. I'll just mute you, but if you have another question, I do have another caller with their hand up, so I'll just mute you. You can stay on the line if you choose, or you can, I noticed you are in the chat room, so whichever works best for you, Sig.
Okay. I'll hang on.
Okay, super. 613, you're on the air. Could you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
My name is Erin, and I'm calling from Canada.
Hi, Erin. Thanks for calling in.
I would like to know, what are the 12 keys? You mentioned two of them so far.
Oh, you've been keeping count.
Yeah.
Hi, Erin.
Hi.
Whereabouts in Canada are you from?
I'm in Ontario.
Oh, that's where my sister lives, way up there on the farm. If you ever want any organic produce or chickens or eggs, head over to, I don't know, where is it? Somewhere, Janetville, that's where it is. Yes, what are the 12 golden keys? Did you want me to list them? The first key we talked about, you are the key, and you are responsible for everything in your environment, in your life, that happens to you, because you can change it. That's what it's about. You can co-create with spirit. You can change your life. The second key talks about following the blue light, that inner light that we talked about with the exercise, doing the exercise, finding that pinpoint of light that leads into the portal of the third eye, into the other worlds. The third key talks about finding your key guardian or your spiritual guides, like the guide who appeared at my bus or the black lab who walked me home at night. They're all around. They appear amazing. They're on the street. Once I had a spiritual master standing on a street corner, and he asked me for money. And he was dressed, and he was in rags and everything, but he was clean, and he had these incredible piercing blue eyes. And you know right away. Of course, I gave him the dime. So anyway, the third key talks about finding your, how to find your key guardians, and also that we are karmic warriors. I call them karmic warriors because I'm into Harry Potter and things like that. And just how to unravel your karma and what karma is. And, you know, really, the book doesn't ask you to believe in anything that you probably don't already believe in. If you don't believe in karma and reincarnation, that's okay too. You know, you don't have to read to learn about the keys in the book, because it's totally, it's your journey. I am the storyteller. That's all I am. It's your journey, and you've got to go on your own journey, find your own way and your own path. And did you want me to keep going? I could.
I would. It's totally up to you and the host.
Anyway, a couple more. The fourth key, there is no limitation. There really is no limitation in your life, Erin. And the only limitation is the limitations that we impose upon ourselves. The rest is open. You can do anything. You can go anywhere. You can be anyone on this plane. That's what is the beauty of this planet. It's a beautiful planet. You know, just get out there and see it, and share your wisdom and your love, because we need you. The planet needs you. We're trying to find a way to become sustainable on this planet. And the great shift that is happening, or the great turning, as Joanna Macy calls it, is going from the head to the heart and becoming conscious that we are conscious beings, multidimensional beings. And Barbara Marks Hubbard, I remember I met her a month ago at the 2012 Tipping Point Prophets Conference. And what a wonderful woman. She is a futurist that has finally come into the limelight, and it's something that she has been doing for over 30 years, is conscious evolution. It's all about that, becoming conscious that we are conscious beings and we can change things. So that's the fourth key. And I talked about the fifth key, through the eyes of soul, looking through the eyes of soul. And after the fifth key, you step onto the path of the spiritual warrior. And it talks about, it gives you steps on how to become a spiritual warrior. And of course, this is the type of warrior that does not kill people or go out with anger. A spiritual warrior is someone who comes from love, from divine love. And I think I'll stop there.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Great.
Thanks, Erin.
Thank you. And I would I've lost my question. Sorry, I'll have to call in
That's
again.
That's fine. You just stay where you are.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I will mute you, Erin, but if you stay on the line, and we have a few minutes at the end, I'll actually open. Oh dear, she hung up. I was going to open up the lines again because I see that that Sig actually stayed on the line, so I'll open it up just before we go off, so we can all just say goodbye together and thank you, and see what else might come forward. But we have a moment free here before somebody calls back in. I wanted to ask another question of you. Of how many people who have read your book have wrote their stories back to you of how that's affected them? I know you have a newsletter and your website. There's a way for people to communicate with you.
Yeah, I have received many endorsements and emails from people. In fact, I just put up a bunch on my blog, which is, you can get through 12goldenkeys.com. There's a blog spot on there, blog news, and you can go there and read all the reviews that are coming in. And people are, one person has read it 6 times and they just can't stop reading it. But most people, because we're such busy little bees, aren't we, have a stack of books at the side of their bed table. But mine is there for people to grab and read just before they go into the dream state. A lot of people are doing that where they're putting it beside their bed, opening it up, reading a few passages, and then sleeping with those passages in their consciousness. And it's been a wonderful journey. And you are a wonderful host, Sin. Thank you so much for this. I'd love to come visit you and see your horses and meet you one day, maybe.
Well, I hope that happens. Yes, I would love to have an in-person coffee and chat with you. Of course, you might not get an opportunity to speak as much as you have here.
Mine too.
Well, I bet I'd have lots of questions for you. You may get an opportunity to speak again. But the whole process of pulling together this book and the website and responding to the call that people have right now to try and understand their world better, mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. you really have managed that in the book and in the keys. And it is a fun exercise to do each of the exercises before sleep and see mm-hmm. what happens for you.
Yes. I'm just reading on the scroll here where people can type in. Someone said they just had a 4.5 outside Yellowstone, and that is one of the reasons why this book is here on the planet now. This book was written so that if the earth changes, world changes start happening so fast that we don't know what to do, we're scared, we're afraid, you can instantly go on the inner and ask, okay, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? And once you open that up and start listening, you will know what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to be when all this goes down. This is not Lala, you know, fairy stuff here. This is real stuff that people practice. And in a time of great change, we need these spiritual tools to help us. And also to get rid of mind control, because there are a lot of things that are trying to control us, and they use fear, and fear is the big F word in my vocabulary. And once you get rid of fear, or most of the fear, because you'll never get rid of all of it, because you need that little bit of fear to keep alert. But once you can get rid of the mind control, look beyond that, see soul. You know, in that movie Avatar, I don't know if you've seen that, by the great Canadian director James Cameron, he talks about, or the characters talk about, I see you. Well, what are they talking about? You know, they go to the Tree of Souls. Okay, so you is soul. I see you. I see soul. Soul-soul connection.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful. And I still have you on here, don't I?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, it seems like you went quite quiet there, so I thought, oh,
I do, I do. I go quiet. Do we have a question?
Oh, actually, Erin has another question for you from the chat room. Do you do readings and classes as well?
I haven't even started that yet. I haven't even the book came out in July. It's brand new on the bookshelf, so I haven't gone there yet, but I am doing 2 talks in Vancouver in March. One March 3rd is at Banyan Books on West Broadway, our very large New Age bookstore, and the other one is March 30th at the West Vancouver Library. So I'm just starting in that, but that's a really good point, Sig. Thank you very much, or Erin. I would like to do that, yes. In fact, why don't you invite me? I love house salons.
Wow.
I did a house, I did a house salon a couple of weeks ago. Someone invited me over to their house and invited people over, and I gave a talk. In fact, it was 12 people. Interesting, 12 golden keys, and there were 12 people there.
That's very awesome. Actually, I have a meetup group, a quantum meetup group, that would just love you to come in. If I can arrange that with them, I'd love you to come over and speak to all of them as well.
Yes, yeah, I love that. I love the intimate surroundings of doing something like that.
Excellent, excellent, for sure. Oh, thank you for suggesting that. We now have 6 minutes left of the show, and do you have anything else like coming up or that you would be make yourself available for and let people know?
Just go to the website, www.12goldenkeys.com, and go to the blog, and you'll see a list of scheduled events. I just finished one last night. I went to a book signing with about, I don't know, I think there was like finger authors like Diana Gabaldon, who came over to my table to say hello, and Jack White, Michael Slade, other authors much bigger than me, you know, more well-known. And so that was an interesting event. But, yeah, no, just go to the website. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And be safe, be well, and don't forget to
get
see, beyond, see beyond the illusion. And, yeah, and the book, too, I guess. Okay.
No, it's a great book. And thank you very much for sharing all the information about it here on the show. It's very interesting. I'm enjoying it. I have numerous tabs throughout the book to return. It is something that you just keep around and keep refreshing your mind and about the lessons or the keys. I'm going to bring Sig back on the air. I hope that'll be okay. She can let us know. We have 4 minutes remaining, so we'll get our goodbyes in. Sig, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes. Thank you very much. I'm so glad she cleared up the question about the warrior. Because I was concerned about that. Certainly, with everything going on, you do want to pick up a sword and, you know, but that's not the way to go. I understand.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes. Spiritual warrior. There's two words there, and they mean one thing, and that is someone who comes from divine love.
Very nice.
Yes. Thank you so much. I'll be sure to pick up your book. I'm looking forward to reading it.
Oh, thank you, Sig. Yes, and keep in contact, anyone. You can email me, info@12goldenkeys.com, if you have any more questions.
Okay, thanks, everybody, for listening. Again, it's been wonderful. The show is always so much fun to do every Sunday and see everybody in the chat room and the silliness as well as the great shares that are given there. So make sure you're here next week. We're going to have another great show here for you. And thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for everybody for showing up. And
thank you, Sin. You're a wonderful host. Absolutely wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Did you start already with the drumming? Was that you? this we'll go
drumming? Me? No.
Okay.
Here, what about this?
Nice. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
We'll be saying goodbye to everybody on the show now. We're closing down. See you next week, everyone.